Volume in here just a bit, LG.
Okay, let's go ahead and get a roll call and see if we have a quorum. It's 4:03, so.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Okay, I will go ahead and do that. So, Lieutenant Governor, you are here. Val Hale?
He's on the trade mission.
Val's in Europe.
Yep, that's right.
In Europe.
He's with us in spirit. Jerry Stevenson?
Also there.
He's on the trade mission, right? Lowry Snow?
Good afternoon, everybody.
Awesome. Lincoln Fillmore?
Here.
Hey, Senator. Steve Handy is here. Dave Bueller is here. Jim
here.
Russell. Troy Walker? Mayor Walker?
He's supposed to be
here. Yes, here.
Awesome. April Cooper? No April yet. And Mayor Ramsey?
Here.
Okay, well, we've got what we need to get going here. LG, just let me know how you want to take this. We can support from here.
Can you tell us who's in person in the room with you?
Yeah, do you want to? Well, we've got
Jim Russell, Steve Handy, Representative Handy's here in person.
As well as Alan and hey. Scott Cheney.
Hey, great. Well, we're so excited to have everyone here. Thank you so much. For those that don't know, Scott is with the AG's office, and he will be our legal representative today. So Scott, thanks for your help there. I am on the road, and so Kirsten's going to help me as we navigate through the agenda. But first of all, we do have a quorum. We appreciate that. My co-chair, Representative Snow, thank you so much for joining us as well.
We've got four other people in the room. I just wanted to make sure that was noted.
Okay. Thank you. We do have the first item on the agenda is actually item number two, is fixed management and the Utah Local Government Trust Alternative. So we, as I think all of you know, that the main purpose for this call is really kind of organizationally to bring things together. We're excited since our last meeting to have Alan on board as the new director. And Alan, we're grateful for your service and your willingness to join us. So really what we're trying to do is to make sure that we can get lined up and do all the things that we need for an employee here in the room. We're excited for that. And so let's Christian, do you want to go ahead and lead discussion on risk management and the ULP?
Yeah, I was actually hoping to turn that over to Scott. This will be pretty brief. It's just a discussion about what you guys want us to do as staff as we move forward in deciding how to make sure we're following the laws and being insured. So, Scott, really anything you want to?
Well, thank you. As I understand it, and I'm kind of sitting in for Chris Piper here today, but there are some questions about, or opportunities, I guess, to seek some liability coverage for this board, and while it appears that it's not necessarily under or falls under the risk management package, it looks like there's some opportunity to look elsewhere for that coverage and so I think that as the board gets organized, can assign staff to seek out the appropriate liability and other insurance coverage through various outlets, including the Utah Local Government's Trust Alternative. And I understand that that Jill Flagar was also touching base on that. So.
We assume that we're going to qualify for coverage, but before we even go down that path, felt as staff like getting direction from the board on having those conversations was appropriate.
And I'd suggest verification from risk management as well that this body is or is not something that falls under their standard group of coverage.
Jill, did you have anything to add?
Sure.
contacted with management as we were setting up the inland port, and as Quinta Mountain is set up almost identical to the inland port, risk management told us at that time that the inland port did not qualify under risk management. They were exempt. So at that time, and again, MIDA is set up exactly the same way as well, and they don't qualify under risk management. So we at that time went and got multiple quotes out in the public, and the Utah Local Government Trust was the cheapest and also provided the best coverage. And so I'm happy to turn around after this meeting the quotes that we got at that time and the coverage that was provided. I did put in the budget, you will see a line for liability insurance. That is the amount that we paid for the inland port. So you can see the yearly coverage. If I'm remembering correctly, it was for up to $5 million of liability coverage.
Great, thank you. So I think we all agree that it's important to move forward on that. Thank you for doing the legwork, Jill, getting those quotes. We've met, most of us have worked with the local government on many occasions. They do wonderful work. And so at this time, I think we would look for a motion to approve moving forward with them, again, subject to the budget being approved. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
This is a discussion item, not an action. The action is when you adopt.
Yeah, sorry. We don't need an action or an action item on this. We can just move forward.
This is just a discussion. Thank you. Okay.
Next time we will.
Any other questions or additional discussions?
I think it was Alan made the suggestion. It's a little hard to tell on the phone, but I think it would be wise to get a letter from risk management confirming that they will not cover us, just so we have that kind of documented before we take action, or before there's an action to seek other coverage, just so that no one comes back to us and says, "Hey, you're already covered by risk. Why did you do this?" I think that would be prudent.
That's a good idea. I like that.
We'll take that direction as staff.
Okay. Staff will take care of that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other discussion? Okay. Hearing none, let's go ahead and move on to item number 3, and that is approval of resolution authorizing staff for URS. That is the Utah Retirement System coverage. And I think it's Kirsten, go ahead. Is that you or is that Scott?
We're going to pass that one over to Scott as well. I divvied everything out.
Right. We've got a draft of a motion here, too. I think the issue is just making sure that employees of the staff who are doing the work of this board are covered under the Utah Retirement System's programs. Not only coverage, but their, retirement. Mm-hmm.
Correct. A comprehensive package.
Exactly. So there has been a draft resolution or a motion for resolution laid out here, and I think that's in everybody's packet.
Yeah.
And unless there are questions, we can go ahead and...
Yeah, this is something we talked about in our last meeting. When we were talking about hiring, this is so while they're not technically state employees, they are quasi-state employees, and we want to make sure that we treat them as such. And this resolution is necessary to make sure that we can provide retirement benefits under the URS. So this is in line with what we were asked to do at the last meeting. Any questions regarding the resolution?
I do, Mr. Chair. This is Senator Bill Warren.
Go ahead, Senator.
So I wonder if we look at other options. I want to make an argument here that we're a short-term government agency, and quasi-government way. We'll be around for some number of years, but I think those number of years will be much less than a career for most employees. And that being part of the state retirement system for that short window means that we're going to be paying 24% of salary into a system in order to provide only a 10% or so benefit to our employees. And since we're only short-term in nature, I wonder if we might not be better off just providing maybe a 15% benefit, so that it's better off for the employees over that short term, but still would save our agency money if we could dedicate elsewhere.
So I appreciate that, Senator, and I'm definitely open to looking at that. I will say that we only have one employee, and that employee was part of the hiring process, was told that his retirement would be able to continue in the state system, and I think changing that at this point would be very difficult for at least for that employee. I do believe that we would be open to considering that with any additional future hires. I'm open to any other thoughts.
And he's a tier one employee?
No, tier two.
He's here. He's confirming he's a tier two.
I just assumed he's been part of the system, part of URF as a state employee from before 2011, right?
Started in October of 2011.
So that was.
He started as a state employee in October of 2011, so he's a tier two state employee.
Right, yeah, that's tier two. Tier two.
That's what we said.
Okay.
Jill, did you have anything to add there?
Nope, I'm just confirming that he was a tier two. Thank you.
Hey, this is Mayor Walker. My only thing I'd want to add to is I don't know how short term this entity will be. I suppose it could be real short term depending on how we decided to go, but it could also be a 20-year entity, easy.
This is Representative Snow, Mr. Chair, if I can ask a question. Maybe a question for Gio. How is there only a very tight window to get Alan on a retirement, or is this something that we could look at, have discussion on? Or do we need to act on this today?
We do need to act on this. He starts on July 8th, and he can't have a separation in his time.
Okay. And so let me ask legal counsel, we list this for discussion, not for action. Can we take action on this?
I think we can take action on it. Yes, and I think there are, under the URS statute, there's a requirement that there's a resolution of various boards that, and so while it's listed on the agenda as a discussion item, and we have put together this motion, I believe to satisfy that statutory requirement under the URS opt-in statute.
Yeah, we have listed as approval of resolution on there as well. So.
Good old Clara Galera.
Sorry,
my
bad.
My bad. Sorry, team.
I'm sorry, Tyler. There are two parts to this, and this is the second piece. We have already submitted the application to URS, and this is the second piece. The board needs to approve this resolution. And then that goes to URS for final approval. So this is part two that we need to fulfill.
Okay. Let me, if I can make one other statement then, Mr. Chair. I understand what the good senator is saying, but I also agree with Mayor Walker. We don't know the length and the breadth of this work. This is going to take, in my opinion, could easily be a 10-year or a 15-year project. So with that in mind, and also based on representations that I was involved with, with Mr. Matheson, I think we need to move forward on it. I don't want to cut off discussion, but I'd be prepared to make a motion if that's okay.
I think a motion would be appropriate.
Be my motion, Mr. Chair, that under item number three, we approve the resolution authorizing staff to enact URS coverage consistent with the form that is been made a part of the agenda and the documents submitted for this meeting today.
Thank you. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Yeah, second. Steve second. Handy. Steve Handy, second.
Thanks, Representative Candy. Now, is there further discussion?
Just a.
Hearing none. Oh, go ahead. Yep.
Just a point at this, Jim Russell. Point of clarification. I think that it's a problem because it's listed on the agenda as discussion, not action. But I question: do we really need the board to approve it since we approved last time that that you could go ahead and negotiate with the selected member and bring him on board? Is this really necessary?
So it is necessary. Let me clarify, guys. Just because it says discussion under there, we can take action on this. There is an actual resolution, and in the in item number three, it says approval of the resolution, and URS needs this resolution to move forward, and so we've already established that this has to be done. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be approved on here, and we're okay to approve it.
It was attached to the packet as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
any further discussion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
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 And any opposed? All right, hearing none, the motion carries. Unanimous in the affirmative. We will go ahead and move on to item number four, and that is the request for DHRM support for staff. And Jill, we've got you listed on here.
Yes, thank you. And I'll be really brief. In discussions with Chris Piper right before he left for vacation, we went through the statute and looking at the type of support we could request for Alan in his new position. And one of the things listed in independent entities under the corporation for the, we are a quasi state entity, it specifically listed DHRM as one of the entities that we could request support from. And so Chris asked that we list this as one of the discussion points on this a board agenda today. And I have reached out to DHRM, and they have tentatively said that they would be happy to provide the support to the Point of the Mountain Land Authority if we set it up as a entity within state finance. So I wanted to make sure that you were all clearly aware of everything that we were doing to set up the Point of the Mountain Land Authority. I have a meeting with state finance tomorrow to set it up as a state entity, similar to the way SITLA is set up as a quasi-state entity. Once it is set up, DHRM will be able to do the back-end work as far as doing payroll and things like that for Alan. As long as everyone, this is a discussion item, but as long as there's no one that against it, but as long as you're not against us moving forward in that way, then we will move forward in that direction this week.
Any concerns with HR going through the DHRM? Hey, I think we're good on that, Jill. Thank you. I know that's kind of what we had imagined would happen, so thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, now let's get into the budget. The main purpose of this call was to look at the modification and approval of the fiscal year 2020 budget. You should have a copy of that in your packet for today. And we can go ahead and have that discussion. So Jill and Kirsten, do you want to take that?
Jill, I'm going to pass that one back to you. Listen, my way of doing things is delegating, so.
Perfect.
I'm organized. I'm just not.
All right. Well, if you will look at the fiscal year 20 tab, that will be the one that we'll look at, we'll focus on today. As far as the revenues that we're only looking at right now is the $294,500 that carries in from fiscal year 19. Then we'll need to have discussions with co-chair Snow and Senator Stevenson in funding the shortfall in fiscal year 20. But as far as operating expenses, the personnel costs are the fully loaded costs of the executive director, legal services that are provided on an internal service fund model from the AG's office, travel expenses, and then you'll see the lines of the liability insurance there. Down below, supplies and technology expenses, the stand-up, the office, and then the miscellaneous is speaking with Alan this past a week or so. They are high, and we left them there right now, not completely sure where fiscal year 20 will take Alan as far as needing to hire consultants and so forth. But both of us noting that those probably will be coming in high for fiscal year 20. So that leaves a shortfall in fiscal year 20 of $213,295. So that's where fiscal year 20 is coming. That very last tab, that's the fiscal year 20 state form, everything feeds in to that form, and that is the form that is required for the state treasurer, given the independent entity status that the Point of the Mountain holds. And so we will be sending that up to the treasurer. I apologize. It's state auditor who will get that form. So we will be sending that up. So any questions, please feel free to ask. Otherwise, in a nutshell, that is budget for next year.
Thank you. So let's open it up for discussion. We do have, Kirsten, do you want to talk a little bit about the funding issue with the budget last year coming out of the session? As many of you know, because of the effort on tax reform, there were certain things that didn't get the expected funding that was kind of held back. This is one of those, and do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, that pretty much covered it there. Essentially, we didn't get a funding item in the budget after all the skinny budget stuff went down. That's the technical term, I think, went down. Mm-hmm. That said, supplementals and things of that nature happen all the time in this world, and we've had lots of conversations with Jerry Stevenson, who would probably be giving this report himself, were he in the country. He has spoken with legislative leadership and feels confident that we can backfill what we need to until the upcoming budget deadlines, and then from that point, we're going to need to go back to the legislature and say, hey, we're a real thing now, you created us, now fund us so that we can continue with our employees and everything else that's needed from that point. So we're playing a little bit of a shell game right now, admittedly, with this budget, but I think, I feel like everybody, you know, who's been working on this is very confident that that won't continue to be the case for very long, and that right now we're just working through what we need to get the work going. Is there anything else you wanted me to cover?
With, No, we had conversations with leadership about this, and they're well aware. The whole idea of hiring the executive director position was so that the executive director could work to put a plan in place together with the board, and then we would be able to present that to the legislature to get the funding that has been anticipated and that they're well aware of. So we feel very confident we have their full support in the hiring and in putting together that plan moving forward. But as you all know, we have a statutory requirement to have a budget, and so this is kind of the bare bones budget that gets us to a place where we could hire Alan, and Alan can then work on a more detailed budget and plan moving forward. Does that make sense?
Yes, and we're under a deadline on passing something like this, as lots of entities of this nature are. Scott, maybe you can speak to that a little bit more, but that's why we're doing this now, even though there's
20 seconds.
I wouldn't call it an unfunded mandate, though. We're working on it.
So questions, thoughts?
No.
Is
this an hour that you'd like to have? Go ahead, or 2 minutes, no.
Just briefly, Mr. Lieutenant Governor and Kirsten, the way you describe it in terms of the budget process, this session, I believe, is accurate. We needed to go forward with hiring Alan, Mr. Matheson. At the same time, we need to approve the budget. So I'm confident, as you say, Lieutenant Governor, even though this is bare bones, it will take care of us until we can get back in session and move forward with a more permanent budget going forward, and as you say, with input from Alan. So this is a good measure for now, and we're all going to be, and when I say all, the board will be revisiting budget issue each year during the course as we move forward, but this is something that we need to take care of today if possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Is there any need for administrative staff between in this fiscal year, or is that still going to be handled by GOED?
Jill, do you want to speak to that?
The finance staff, Alan, sorry, I'm going to speak for you for a minute. I haven't spoken directly to Alan for this, but if he needs the finance assistance, we can do that. We can do a budget setup and that kind of work for him. But I will follow up with him to make sure he wants us to do that. You will also know that there is no budget for rent or lease. In speaking with Alan, we removed that budget item this last week decided it would be best to house him, at least for the immediate future, within a state agency. And so, working with GOMB, his office will be within GOMB for the immediate future. A lot of good partnerships being developed right now. And so, yes, staff from GOED, and then some partnerships with GOMB.
And the original plan was to have a cell out of the prison and just put some idea for
there's going
to
be room. This is no room. Right,
whatever works, whatever works.
Careful about your office there.
That's right.
Tough commute. Yeah.
Tough access.
Yeah.
That is true. Access.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments? Alan, anything you'd like to add?
Thank you. Well, I appreciate this opportunity. There's always, you know, a little discomfort in not having the money there, but I trust this board. I trust the representations made and the communications that have taken place. And I'm just anxious to jump in and get this thing moving.
All right.
As are we. Thank you. Okay. Let's go ahead then, and we I would look for a motion to approve the budget.
I'll make that motion to approve the budget.
Thank you, Jim. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mayor. All in favor, any discussion, any additional discussion? Okay, hearing none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Nay. Okay, thank you. The motion carries unanimously. Item number six, definition of the delegation of responsibility to the staff. Go.
Okay, so this resolution really just gives Alan day-to-day operational authority, and it does say that he needs to come back to the board, report back to the board, but ultimately you members of the board have ultimate authority over what happens, but the day-to-day operations that Alan will be able to do his work, that he can make expenditure changes within the budget up to $50,000 as long as the overall budget doesn't change. And that he can make purchases of less than $5,000 if within the procurement process. So he can get a credit card. Being a one-man shop is kind of hard. That's where kind of the finances within GOED will be helpful to have some internal controls. And so when he creates policies and procedures, some of those internal controls will want to maintain some lines of authority as far as we at GOED will approve his credit card purchases and so forth, but all contract agreements and so forth will need to be approved by you, the board. He can enter them, but they need to be approved by you. So anyway, it just creates some efficiencies and allows him to do his job. So that's generally what it says.
Okay. Yep, thank you. Questions, concerns, additional discussion?
I guess I just have one. And we're talking about the resolution appointing the Mountain Land Authority, right?
Yes.
So on one, or on 2C, where we're talking about procurement policy, it talks about competitive bid. For if he has to hire professional services, by procurement code, that's not a competitive bid. It's by negotiated fee, or could be a selection, but it's by fee, not bidding, and so it might handicap him. It says here that you adopt a procurement guideline consistent with the following, but is there any discussion that he could just adopt state purchasing guidelines or something to that effect, where you would have to come up with a new procurement authority and he might not be handicapped in the future?
Mike Kelly here, Jim. I just wanted to jump in and say I think the last time I looked at this, the Ponsville Board isn't subject to the procurement code. I think they've got an exemption.
They are exempt from it, but I don't think there's anything in this particular resolution they could adopt it if they so chose.
Exactly. That's what I was getting to.
That happens. That's exactly how the CPB operates. The Capital Preservation Board's exempt the procurement code, but they basically adopted it, so that's an option.
I don't think that's something that has to be resolved right now. I think you could do that at a later point. I was just bringing that up as a issue that I see with the document.
This is Representative Snow. I agree that I don't think we need to decide that issue, although I will say that I think it's important at some point that we have a discussion whether we adopt the procurement code, but I don't think we need to take that up today.
Yeah, we're not really prepared to discuss that today.
And we're not prepared to act on anything right now, so it's not critical, but where you're not subject to procurement code, necessarily the board could change those guidelines at any time, but it's something that we should be considering for future.
Okay, thank you. Good discussion. Anything else? Okay, I would entertain a motion, therefore, that would be adopting the Point of the Mountain Land Authority Resolution 2019-01.
Yeah, this is...
Mayor Walker, I'm moving to adopt.
Thank you. I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second. This is Steve Handy. Second.
Thanks, Steve. Any additional discussion? Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right. I believe that that carries unanimously, and that concludes our agenda. Anything else that that needs to be brought up today?
I didn't catch that.
Oh. Siri wanted to chime in.
Siri wanted to chime in.
Yeah,
sorry.
Siri had a comment.
If I may, I just like to say welcome aboard to Alan, and thanks again for your interest in this position and your willingness to get down this journey with to head up what is sure to be a significant game-changing project for the state. So welcome aboard. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think we all expect that, Mayor. I would just add, you know, we've all been involved in this now for a long time, and it feels like now the real work actually gets started. So we're really excited to have Alan on board. Okay, go ahead.
I'm just going to say a second that, Alan, we're really appreciative of your willingness to accept this offer and to be a part of it. So we've talked about it being historic, and you're literally on ground level. So thank you on behalf of the board, and frankly on behalf of the citizens of our state for willing to apply your talents here.
Well, thank you very much. I'm kind of a Theodore Roosevelt fan, and one of the things he said was the greatest gift that life has to offer is the opportunity to work hard at work worth doing. And I'm not sure I fully agree with that. I'd throw in relationships and a few other things, but in that spirit, I really am looking forward to working hard at work that truly is worth doing, and working at it with people that I respect, trust, and like, even. So this is going to be good. I look forward to it.
Well, give me some time. We'll fix that last one.
Let me just say one other thing in parting, Alan. With all that talk about getting a credit card, if you're really taking up residency in a cell out there, keep an eye on that card, would you?
Good advice. I knew this was a wise board.
That's awesome.
Okay, I think that's everything. Thanks, everyone, for your time, and have a great night. We stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Is there a motion? Nah. It gets a little unilateral sometimes. It's fine.
Move for adjournment. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, there we go. He said it has to be.